When my son Luke was in the first grade, a third grade girl came up to him on the playground and threw a handful of sand and small stones in his face. And I don't remember why she did that, but I do remember what Luke's first grade friend, John, said to her. He turned to her, looked her in the eye, and said, "You're better than that." Really impressive. I called his mother right away and said, "You've done a great job. You're better than that." Meaning, I think that was beneath you. I know you and your potential, and you were meant for better things. Today's gospel lesson is all about identity, Jesus' identity and our identity. Jesus is in the wilderness with an antagonist, the devil, and Scripture is starting to sound like an episode of the show Survivor. The devil approaches Jesus when he's alone and famished. And I don't know about you, but my defenses go way down when I'm isolated and hungry. When I was young, my dad, sister, and I used to go skiing together. And after we would ski together for a couple of hours, we would split up so that those who still had the energy could go try some of the Black Diamond slopes. But before we split up, my dad would always hand a candy bar to my sister and me for energy in case we started to run out. And he would say, "Halt," meaning stop skiing when you are hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. I think that halt is helpful to remember not just on the ski slopes, but also in life. Stop and pause when you are hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. Take a deep breath and say a prayer before moving forward. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus' baptism at the River Jordan comes right before this scene where Jesus is tempted. And this scene of Jesus being tempted comes right before Jesus goes into his public ministry. And I don't think this chronology is an accident. At Jesus' baptism, God pronounces him the Beloved. I wonder how hearing God call him the Beloved strengthened Jesus and challenged him in some different ways. I imagine that those words came back to him more than once as he faced the devil's challenges. In their back and forth debate, the devil taunts Jesus. He asks Jesus to prove himself in multiple ways. The devil's first two statements begin with "if." "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. And if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down." He's trying to play on Jesus' insecurities by saying, in so many words, prove that God loves you. Prove that you're important. Prove that you're powerful and worthy of respect. In his final challenge, the devil offers to give Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor if Jesus will worship him. While Jesus responds, "Worship the Lord your God and serve only him," I imagine that this entire encounter was extremely difficult for Jesus. I also imagine that the devil's taunts stung, and that what he offered was hard to refuse. I also wonder if there was something in Jesus that wanted to be a son of God, which was a title that the Roman Caesars claimed for themselves, son of God. And I wonder if there was something in Jesus that also wanted to be powerful and in control, to be served rather than serving others. Jesus isn't a cardboard figure. He's not a storybook hero. He was a flesh and blood human being like us, with all the same struggles, anxieties, insecurities, and temptations. The dialogue between the devil and Jesus can sound so scripted, so neat and tidy. Yet these questions aren't just Jesus's questions. These are the same questions many of us face, although maybe they're phrased differently. And maybe they take place at our work, where we volunteer, or on the sidelines of a football game. Who are you? What feeds you? In what or whom do you ultimately trust? Whom do you really serve? Usually the person who presents us with questions or opportunities that help us clarify our identity and what gives us life does not have a tail and a pitchfork. They might come in the form of a boss, a coworker, a neighbor, or for me, most often in the form of a family member. Sometimes questions about our identity, our beliefs, and our priorities are so couched in Minnesota nice that we don't immediately see how critical and challenging they are. And then there are those times when we have to make decisions about what to do, when we feel isolated, alone, and maybe misunderstood. What Jesus ultimately comes to understand is that our identity as God's beloved is a gift. We can't earn belovedness through our achievements or with our charming personalities and social graces. We're not called the beloved so we can think ourselves better than others and lord this over them. God alone has given us value and purpose. As God's beloved, we're able to make space for other people without being threatened by them. We are able to seek reconciliation with others because it is God's work, not ours. We don't need to create our own worth. We have intrinsic worth. We don't need to manipulate others to get ahead. Jesus could have responded to these challenges in many different ways. He could have told the devil to get lost, or he could have proved how much God loved him by doing something breathtaking. Instead, he somehow, probably with great difficulty, remembered that he was God's beloved. And because of that, he didn't need to prove himself. At some level, he probably also realized that God loved the devil too. But the devil was too consumed with his own power, authority, and desire for control to grasp this. By the grace of God, Jesus stayed steady and answered the devil's challenges concisely, quoting from Scripture. Matthew tells us that when the devil left, angels came and ministered to Jesus. I imagine that they listened to him. And in doing so, healed the wounds, the anger, and frustration that the situation probably stirred up in him. This Lent, our faith community is focusing on the spiritual practice of reconciliation, meaning joining in God's movement to heal and bring people into relationship across differences. Participating in God's work to bring healing in our lives and those of others is only possible when we can make space for others, because we are secure in the knowledge that we are God's beloved. Let us take a moment to listen to God's word to us this day. You are better than that. You are the beloved. Amen.